You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone, and let's take you right to the streets of Cairo, where Wira Davis, BBC correspondent in Cairo, has obtained the working satellite phone. What are you seeing, Wira?
Well, it's an incredibly tense morning, as it still is here going into the afternoon. We've had reports of clashes already in several suburbs, not just of Cairo, but also towns in eastern Egypt. I mean, it's very much a pattern of this whole protest over the last few days has been the nationwide protest in which, of course, several people have died. I was out on the streets this morning. There were riot police all across Cairo on major street intersections, protecting government buildings, and in all the main squares, of course, while the protests take place. But nonetheless, and despite the fearsome reputation of the Egyptian riot police, people are still out on the streets and still determined to press for change here.
Wira Davis of the BBC live from Cairo. You know, because the internet is shut down and partly because of the scale of these demonstrations, the tourist industry can't avoid being restricted and seeing what's going on in Cairo, and that has huge impact on the government in Egypt, wouldn't you say?
Indeed. I mean, this is a real crisis, probably the biggest crisis that Hosni Mubarak has faced in his many decades in power. But that is the problem. He has been in power for too long, say people on the streets. They saw what happened last week in Tunisia. I was in Tunisia, and also I saw the impact of social networking, Facebook, Twitter, the internet played a huge role in making that protest in Tunisia a nationwide protest, and it's been doing the same here in Egypt. And today it's been quite noticeable that all the internet connections are down, all of the mobile phone networks are down, there's no text messaging, so it's very difficult for people to communicate. Nonetheless, this does smack of a government in desperation, and it could be a move that backfires, because if people feel that their ability to communicate is also being restricted, it might bring even more of them out onto the streets.
And who would need to be mobilized to tip this into a much bigger sort of demonstration? As you know, in people in Cairo, there are the activists, there are the people who do have access to this kind of communication, but then there's a huge majority that's out on the fringe in Cairo. Should they mobilize, what do you think will happen?
Well, it's a nationwide protest. One group we haven't seen in predominance this week so far is the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, they're the most organized and vocal opposition group in the country. Today being Friday, of course, there's Friday prayers. And I think that will elevate the scale of this protest, because people are going to be coming out of the mosques. People are going to be protesting and demonstrating. Although the Muslim Brotherhood isn't at the vanguard of these protests, it's more of a widespread social movement. Their added support, their added weight today may make a critical difference.
The BBC's Wira Davis on the streets of Cairo reporting live. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.